Today on Maine Calling, do you have a bucket list? It's the new year, which for many of us means a time to set goals of self-improvement for the year ahead. But instead of resolutions, a bucket list consists of wishes and dreams that might come about in a lifetime or might not, but are nice to think about. In other words, you might aim higher and longer term with a bucket list, but the pressure to make it come true is lower. I'm Cindy Hahn. Today we'll explore the idea of having a bucket list. Is it helpful or harmful to articulate those hopes and dreams? What are some ways to set realistic and healthy goals? Are you dreaming of climbing Mount Everest? Learning a new language? What's on your bucket list? Maine Calling is coming right up.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine, now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. Quarry Cottages at Highland Green, committed to providing low-maintenance living and offering custom homes and quarry cottages, highlandgreenlifestyle.com. And by Bangor Savings Bank, committed to helping northern New England communities thrive. You matter more, bangor.com.
This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. What's the difference between a New Year's resolution and a bucket list? And how did this concept of a bucket list even come about? We'll learn about the benefits and the pitfalls of making a list of life dreams and aspirations. Joining me, Kate Bathras. She's an integrative life and leadership coach with Kate Bathras Coaching, and she also is an ADHD coach for adults. And Dr. Tom Muser is a clinical psychologist and applied gerontologist who owns Geropsych Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What's on your bucket list? Do you think it's a good or a bad idea to have a bucket list? Send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Kate, I'm going to start with a question for you because it is January. Many people have just made their New Year's resolutions and, you know, maybe they're keeping them, maybe they're not. But talk about the difference between making resolutions and putting things on a bucket list.
Beautiful. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah, when we think about resolutions and what I tend to see with people who are working on ways to frame their goals and aspirations for the year or for whatever, you know, chapter they're facing, resolutions tend to be something that I'm going to do this. And actually, the definition of a resolution technically is a firm decision to do or not to do something, right? And so there tends to be an energy with this resolution concept that is, I'm going to do this, right? And it can, depending on the person, depending on the situation, that can mean a lot of different things. Bucket list in particular, we tend to associate that more with, this is something I would like to experience. And so, of course, they're closely related. Sometimes people use them interchangeably, but bucket list tends to be something that, oh, I would like to experience that, you know, in a certain period of time or at some point during my life.
Yeah. And Tom, I want to get your thoughts on this in a moment, but I had to do some digging on where this term bucket list came from. We know that the bucket part of it is, you know, things to do before you kick the bucket. And it's something I think we're all so familiar with that I was kind of surprised that apparently it really only got popularized by the movie that Rob Reiner directed, which, by the way, this is our small tribute to him. So it had Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson in there as having been diagnosed with cancer, and they had a list of things they wanted to do before they were gone. And so apparently the screenwriter for the bucket list is credited as having made his own list when he was young and kind of used that as the jumping point for the movie. So we're going to hear a little scene from those two characters talking to each other about this idea.
What is it? Give it back. was on the floor. I didn't know it was a state secret. My freshman philosophy professor assigned this exercise in forward thinking. He called it a bucket list. We were supposed to make a list of all the things we wanted to do in our lives before we
kicked the bucket. Cutesy.
Anyway, I wrote down things like make $1 million, first black president, you know, young man's wishes. I was gonna redo the list, but then...
Help a complete stranger for the good. Laugh until I cry. Not to be judgmental, but this is extremely weak.
It's pointless now.
I would argue the exact opposite. All right, that's it.
What are you doing?
A little rewrite, that's all. I mean, don't you want to go out with some balls, guns blazing, have a little fun?
It was not supposed to be about guns blazing or anything like that. You're missing the point.
What the hell is witness something majestic?
Have you ever been to the Himalayas?
Okay, so those two iconic actors there talking about what could or could not be on a bucket list. And Tom, in that scene, Morgan Freeman references climbing the Himalayas as one of his bucket list items. And later in the scene, actually, Jack Nicholson also says skydiving. So What are your thoughts on, you know, here's the situation where they're thinking about what they could or could not attain when they're both diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so what are your thoughts about this idea of a bucket list, whether it should be realistic, should it be attainable, and how does someone approach that?
Yeah, I think a bucket list is a reflection of what matters to me. And what I like about this clip is the fact that you've got two very different perspectives. One that's sort of reaching for the stars in a way. Whether or not it's realistic, maybe not, doesn't matter as much as that sort of fanciful thinking that goes along with it. That mentally placing yourself in that moment, whether it's climbing the Himalayas or being president, versus this idea that I still have a vibrant life to live, even though my window of life is closing. And I think for both of these men, they know with their cancers, their windows of life are closing. And in a way, I hear a negotiation about a way to both celebrate the lives that they still have in their bucket lists.
And that's interesting because it also brings up the concept of regret. And Kate, I wanted to see if you could address that side of it. There's sort of this implicit idea that, boy, if you don't do these things, you're going to regret it. Is that a good or bad thing to be thinking in your life?
Yeah. So as with so many things, I mean, you know, having the bucket list and having this list of things that you would like to experience or accomplish, is that it's not inherently good or bad. What does get a little sticky is when we start to think, I will only be happy in life if I accomplish everything on this list. And what tends to happen when we're caught in that line of thinking is our sights are set out on some future moment that we imagine will feel really great. And the truth is, it might. But if we're completely bypassing what's available to us in the moment right in front of us and thinking about what is it about these things I want to accomplish that I believe will add fulfillment into my life, and what are some other ways that I can access that in the current moment through smaller or just perhaps more accessible steps that are available to me now, then we're working on weaving together, you know, sort of weaving these experiences of fulfillment into our day-to-day life, as opposed to having it be like this carrot that's dangling out in the future that if I get there, I will be happy. And I think that's where the regret can come into play, is when we think, oh my goodness, I was so fixated on this thing that I thought might make me happy in the future that I forgot to open my eyes and my senses to tune into the possibilities of what was actually unfolding as I move through my life or my year or the chapter that we're speaking about.
Yeah.
Tom, I see you agreeing.
Well, you know, if a bucket list is a to-do list where you are linking your self-esteem with the completion or not of certain things, then you are sort of tying yourself up into a certain way of thinking. And I like Kate's framing about thinking about living life in the moment and being open to possibility, even if you have a bucket list of things you want to do. So I'm 62 and I do not have a bucket list. I never have. I've never felt a desire to write one. And prepping for this conversation, I'm like, is there something wrong with me that I don't have a bucket list? So anyway, I'm curious what our callers are going to have to say about that.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, that there are probably many people who almost, it's the flip of what you're saying. You don't want to be judgmental either direction, right? But they'll proudly say, I'm not the type of person to have a bucket list, because they feel that it indicates they're not satisfied with the way their life is already. Is that, Kate, is that something you encounter, that sort of, I don't know, just like it's going to say something about you if you feel like you have to express some wishes and dreams?
Certainly that can come into play. I mean, sometimes people are a little bit sheepish about really looking at the space between where they are now, right? How satisfied or happy or joyful they perceive themselves to be in the moment. And then, this dream that they're having or something that they imagine will provide something that, maybe feels like it's missing from their life, and that can just be a really tender thing to shine a light on for all sorts of reasons. And so certainly that can happen. I think it's all about the energy with which someone relates to this list. It whether you have it or you don't, it doesn't matter, but are there aspects of your life that you find enlivening and inspiring, and that keep you getting up in the morning and keep you curiously engaged with your life? If a bucket list is something that helps you, orient in that direction, great. And if you don't have a bucket list and don't feel compelled and don't need to, also great.
And you, in your life coaching, a lot of what you've been saying applies to, we're talking specifically about bucket lists, but this is sort of applies to a lot of different ways of approaching transitions in your life or difficult periods in your life. So you started talking about, how you might take a little piece of something and do that instead of this big goal. And so walk us through what you do when you coach people who are trying to get to a certain point in their life.
Sure, absolutely. So the first thing I do, if somebody says, I have this goal, right? Whether it's a trip they want to take or a career goal, or, I want to deadlift 350 pounds at the gym, whatever it is, as a coach, this is always what I do first, is I get curious. And so I start asking questions like, what is it about that is appealing to you? And how do you imagine your life might feel different, or your own experience of your life might feel different if and when you accomplish that goal? And that allows us to learn a little bit about where is this really coming from and what is the desire, right? Because often we're imagining that there's some connection to some aspect of life that we feel will be very rich and meaningful. And when we understand that, then we can work it back and say, okay, so what does that mean then for what the next steps are? Like, maybe it is, yes, I want to work toward this goal. And so we're working backwards on, what will it take to get there? But the key thing about that is that we're acknowledging that all the steps to get there are also living, right? They're also part of the becoming. So if my goal was to deadlift 350 pounds, perhaps what I'm really looking for is to feel the experience of participating in something like going to the gym every week and having that community and feeling a certain level of strength in my body and having a certain kind of routine, or, whatever it is. Well, okay, great. That's accessible to me right now. So we always really bring it back to, what is it that I'm really desiring? What can I do in the present moment? If it's a trip, right? Like, let's say you want to travel someplace that one of your, relatives had spent some time. Well, that's a wonderful aspiration. If that's exciting to you, work toward that, right? Does it, what is involved in taking the steps to become the person who could actually make that choice, right? Do you need a passport? Do you need to save some money? Are there, certain skills you want to cultivate or knowledge about that place? But also, is there something you can do in the moment to learn more about that family member, to feel that sense of connection? Perhaps there's something related to your own sense of belonging or history that you're really desiring. And we don't need to feel like there's just one option for accessing that.
So it's the process. It's the process that is the goal in a lot of ways. We did hear from some listeners about their bucket list items, and there's obviously a lot that are oriented around travel. So Alice listed Holland, Portugal, Budapest, Prague, Scotland. Chris weighed in saying Lapland. So Tom, based on what Kate was just talking about, if you're just taking a piece at a time and getting there, well, you work with a lot of older folks, people who are at the tail end of their lives, and the bucket list idea has a little bit different of a meaning, I think, at that stage. How does someone approach it if they feel like their time and ability to do these things is limited?
I think having a forward orientation in life, seeing a future for yourself, whatever that future is a measure of wellness and well-being as we get older. Certain life transitions in later years, from retirement to perhaps moving into long-term care, can seem almost like endpoints. And in a way, the idea of having a bucket list is to open new doors, to see new possibilities. And so I think and as I work with older adults, some of the questions I ask are around life, death, and legacy. How much longer would you like to live? Because that's kind of part of it. What do you still want to accomplish in your life? What gives you joy? What gives you a sense of purpose and maybe mattering? If we think about what really is at the root of mental health for all of us, is that sense of mattering, whether we matter to ourselves and matter to those around us. So I see a bucket list as a reflection of that deeper sense of mental health and purpose. And I see that as a strength in general, even though I said I don't have one. But I also think that one can have a bucket list without being really aware of it. If you do have a strong sense of purpose and mattering, as you go through your daily life, are you open to new experiences? Are you open to saying yes when something new comes along? That's another way to think about that forward orientation without having a formal bucket list.
Well, great. We have a lot more to talk about, but we do need to take a quick break, and we want to hear from you. Tell us if you have a bucket list, if you think it's a silly idea, or if there's something you've really always wanted to do that would be top of your list. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. What are the pros and cons of having a bucket list? We're learning how you approach wishful thinking in a practical way, and we want to hear from you about what you wish to do at some point in your life. My guests are Dr. Tom Muser. He is a clinical psychologist and applied gerontologist whose practice, Geropsych Maine, focuses on wellness and neuropsychological consultation. And Kate Bathrus of Kate Bathrus Coaching is in South Portland, and she is a life coach. We invite you to join the conversation. Do you believe in making doable goals, or do you like to dream big? What's at the top of your bucket list? Email us at talk@mainepublic.org or comment on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. I know that my bucket list item that I used to always say, oh, that's dumb. I don't have a bucket list. But I was in Norway and I realized, oh, I do have a bucket list item. It's to see the northern lights in a place like Norway where the lights are dancing and all of that. And that is something doable. Again, we talk about sort of the doable ones versus the not, especially now with the northern lights are really active. So there's things like that. And we had somebody write in, Carly says, I want to try float therapy. So there's a kind of neat one. And that's doable too. And so I'm going back to you, Kate, as far as the doable ones versus dreaming big, and whether, I don't know, a certain, is it a personality type as far as whether you think of those, or is it just part of life that some people like to dream?
Sure. I suspect there are all kinds of factors depending on who you are, personality type, certainly life experience. You know, some of it comes down to our conditioning, right? As we were growing up, did we have people in our lives who encouraged us to dream big and were delighted by our imagination or our aspirations, even when it wasn't something, you know, quote, practical, which of course is a subjective term. We could talk a lot about that, but, you know, or are you the type of person who was raised to, or has the personality type to think about more tangible, concrete, what is accessible to me in the moment? You know, all kinds of factors there.
Let's hear from Mary, who is calling in from Lakeville outside of Lincoln. Hi, Mary. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. I just wanted to say that when I was 10 years old, I was already thinking and planning about the one thing I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to live alone in the woods and be happy with my life here. It was so long ago, but here I am. We started building here when I was 60 years old, and I have been here ever since. And
living
I'm
alone
very
in
happy
the
with my choice.
So you
yes,
are living alone in the woods?
Yes.
Wow. So you really had it truly was a lifelong goal achieved. That's really something.
It amazed me because I had no idea how to get here.
But you did it. Well, thank you for sharing that, Mary. Tom.
Yeah. Is Mary still with us? Can I ask
yes.
her a question?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah, Mary. So Mary, how does having achieved that bucket list item now enrich your life or give you a sense of peace or purpose? I'm curious.
I am very peaceful with my life. I intend to die here. When the time comes, I want to be here at home. When my husband was in that condition, he wanted to die here at home. We want to make it a family project.
Are there any things that have come along that you didn't expect that have made it more challenging, but that I you know, I'm sure you accept the challenges, but anything that caught you
yeah.
off guard?
The only thing I didn't realize was that my snowmobile would burn up under me when I was coming up the mountain.
Oh my gosh. Are you okay?
Oh yeah, that was 3 years ago.
Wow. Well, sounds like you've conquered some challenges and are really living the dream. Thank you so much for sharing that, Mary. Tom, I wanted to get back to you about one aspect that we haven't talked about, which is relationships and bucket lists, or just the concept of a bucket list. You know, say you have a couple who one partner wants to go on this solo motorcycle ride some point in their life, and the other person's like, well, that leaves me out. I mean, how does someone navigate their big dreams with someone else in mind?
Well, I think it's partly a reflection of the relationship and the quality of communication to kind of, you know, be able to present those wishes and support the other to accomplish it. Another one I've heard is where one wants to hike the Appalachian Trail and the other actually has to mail the care packages to make that possible as another bucket list item. That's not mine. I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, I think supporting a partner that you love to accomplish something realistic that they really want to is just a terrific reflection of the quality of relationship.
Kate. How does relationship idea play into all of this?
Absolutely. The thing I would add there is that, It really is, well, to echo what Tom said about communication, I think sometimes when you have somebody who wants to do something, like the example you gave of doing something by themselves and the other person feeling left out, there's opportunity for a lot of curiosity there, where the partner who might feel left out says, tell me more. Why is it so important to you to have this experience on your own, right? Again, what is it about that? Because if it's just something that they think they should do, that's a different conversation than, you know, oh, this is meaningful to me because, right, I feel a certain way about it. And when we can reach that that shared understanding of why is this important, and what might it look like, and what might my role be in this or in supporting this, that can really open the door to supporting, you know, this dream in taking shape.
Go ahead, Tom. Yes.
Yeah. So this reminds me of a relative in my wife's extended family who lived on a farm. Her husband was a farmer. She had this bucket list to travel the world, but being on a farm and having those daily responsibilities made that difficult. So for her, it was waiting. And this sounds morbid, but I don't see it that way. But when he passed away, he was older. She's like, you know, this is my time to do some of these things before I'm too old to get out. And she did. She traveled the world. And it was something we celebrated in the family. So there is negotiation that may happen in a couple in life. There also can be opportunities that happen as life changes.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the, you know, something sounding morbid, because the whole kick the bucket idea sounds morbid, right? This whole conversation is predicated on that. So can you just expand more, since, again, these are folks you deal with, people who are at that stage in life, that it's just tied to mortality when you're thinking about what do I want to do before I die?
You know, we all experience some level of death anxiety, and, you know, that as we think about our own deaths or we experience the deaths of others around us, it's actually totally normal and understandable. And yet, psychologically, many of us kind of keep that in the background as much as we can. I'm a real fan of the research work of Victor Cicirelli. He's a psychologist who studied death anxiety and aging. And what he's found is that death anxiety changes depending upon the window of life you perceive ahead of you. So if you are young old, maybe like 68 or 70, closer to me, you have low death anxiety because you see a big window. If you're mid-old, so maybe you're at 78, you see your window closing and your death anxiety goes up. And interestingly, if you're old, and you say you're in your late 80s, your death anxiety drops because you're like, hey, I've got this extra time. This is cool. Now, I've not seen research that's linked having a bucket list to death anxiety in this framework. But what it makes me think about is that one's bucket list could be also a reflection of kind of how you were responding to your sense of mortality. It's morbid because society doesn't tend to support talking about death. One thing I know in working with older adults, they find it real easy to do it because they're living it and they welcome that opportunity. So another way to talk about bucket lists is around the value and activity that you still see for yourself in the future.
That's great to know. Thank you. Let's hear from Sue, who's calling in from Cherryfield. Hi, Sue.
Hi, I just wanted to say I don't have a bucket list. I've done so many amazing things. I'm blessed. But if you do come up with a bucket list, you should write it down in big letters, put it on your refrigerator so you look at it every day. Or 30 to 40 years are going to go by and you're not going to have done any of them.
That's so interesting. Thank you, Sue. And I'm happy for you that you've had such a good life. In the movie, Kate, that scene we heard where Morgan Freeman's character has written something down on this piece of paper, he literally crumples it up at some point because he's, you know, kind of despondent. I think it's so fascinating that piece of paper then took on so much symbolism, that where he actually wrote the things down. So for you, when you're coaching folks, whether it's a bucket list or not, that making a list and writing it down and making it visible to yourself, how much does that matter?
I think it does depend on the individual and the way that we, you know, relate. Some people carry a lot in their minds, but some people really do appreciate a visual reminder. And to go back to what, you know, Tom was just saying about this being, you know, this concept of a bucket list being indicative in some way of our relationship to our own mortality, sometimes having that physical reminder can be a really beautiful thing. It's almost, it's a practice really of remembering that I have limited time to experience this life, regardless of how old I am, regardless of this, the circumstances of my particular life. But I am choosing every day to spend my precious time and attention and energy on what matters to me, right? As we were saying before, what is going to make my particular life feel meaningful and connective. Mm-hmm. And so it is easy to get caught up in the day-to-day of the things that we think we should do, or just the things that we do need to do in order to keep our lives, you know, functional. And so having some kind of reminder that brings you back to yourself to say, oh my gosh, I have this, you know, one precious life, right? To sort of evoke a little Mary Oliver here, like this thinking about, you know, I have this life energy too. I'm a living, breathing person having this life experience, and I get to choose what I do with that, at least to some extent. You know, there are always things that we feel like aren't within our control. We're co-creating with life. There are curveballs here and there, but we do have so much choice, and it can be a lovely thing to remind ourselves of that.
Tom, I want you to follow up, but I want to go to Sue because she's on the road and we want to make sure she still has a connection. Hi, Sue. I hear you're driving to Belfast.
Yes, I am.
Okay. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I just see a bucket list as a list of hope. So you, in your mind, you put it out there. What would I like to do? What might I like to change? And it's sort of out there, and it's sort of sitting there as a little shining star. You don't think about it all the time, but it exists. So that's like the key to getting to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I've had a bucket list all my life. I've done some of the things. I've actualized some of the things. But some of the things are just pending. But it's like a list of hope. That's how I look at it.
That's a nice way to put it. And, of course, now we want to hear which things on your list have you done and which are still on there?
I've gone to Europe. That was one thing. And I found a way to do it. Of course, it was very expensive. So I jumped on a school trip wagon when I was working in a school. And then a couple of years ago, I've always wanted to go to Iceland. I went to Iceland. It was on my list. So it just sort of fell into my lap to be able to go. And so I did that. The other thing that's on my list, one of the things that's on my list is going to Alaska. My nephew lives in Alaska, and so I want to go spend some time. And so right now I'm kind of coordinating a trip with my brother and his wife and to try to figure out how to get there. So it exists. So because it exists, it's out there, and it's hopeful. It's something you can look forward to. Each and every day we do our thing. We march through life one foot in front of the other. We enjoy. We do this and that. But if that little list is over there, it's like, oh, well, maybe, you know, so that's how I view it.
Wow. Well, you really checked off some great ones there, Sue. So nice to hear that. And thank you for calling in and sharing your perspective. Lots to talk about as far as what Sue brought up, but we do need to go to quick break. So I'll get to you, Tom, right after that. We are talking about bucket lists, what they mean, how to think about them. We would love to hear from you, whether you have a bucket list, whether you care, what you are wishing for. Our phone number is 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Do you hope to see the wonders of the world or swim with dolphins someday? Or do you just hope to organize your old photos once and for all? We're talking about the idea of having a bucket list. Joining me is life coach Kate Bathras and clinical psychologist Tom Muser. Share your comments and questions. Weigh in on what you think of keeping a bucket list. Email us at talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram, or you can call 1-800-399-3566. And Tom, I know you had lots of thoughts flowing from some of the things we talked about, what Kate mentioned earlier, but also our caller who talked about the role of hope.
Yeah. Well, I loved the comments about hope. And I think it fits along with what I said earlier about sort of having this forward orientation, this sense of putting myself into a future that I desire or want to be. But I was thinking about the list on the refrigerator. I guess I wouldn't do it. But when I'm thinking about how interpersonal that is, so I put the list on my refrigerator in big letters, and then I have friends over for coffee or a beer. Oh, what is this list? So the bucket list is not just something within us, but the opportunity to express our bucket list to other people might open doors to do something together, to share, because it's something that then opens up opportunities for new community. And I've just been thinking, boy, it'd be interesting to have a therapy exercise where people bring in their bucket lists and share. So lots of thoughts.
There you go. You should do that. Actually, let me read an email from Noah. This is Dr. Noah Charney from UMaine. He says, I've always wanted to do a wall flip. Ever since I was staring at a big oak during lunch one day in high school, wondering if I could run up and backflip off of it. It's been on my 5-year plan for decades. Occasionally, I even identified but never went to local parkour groups and gym spaces that might be able to help me do it safely. But children, work, etc., always has taken priority over what seems like such a silly goal. Now that my body is getting older, it's feeling less likely that I will ever get around to it. Unless, P.S., unless there's someone around Orono who could help me. So Noah's saying, yeah, it's kind of a silly goal, but you know, this actually, what you just said, Tom, maybe if someone just knew that he really wanted to do that, they seem like, oh, I know how to do that. I can teach you. Kate.
Absolutely. I was thinking about what Tom just said as well, that here you are, Noah, putting yourself out there and saying, I would like to have this experience. I would like to be able to do this thing. And I would also just say that it doesn't sound silly to me, right? And I think we often are so quick to say, oh, this feels silly, right? So often my clients will say, well, there is this silly thing, or there is this weird thing, or this, right? We have certain words that we use to describe these, you know, experiences we want to have that we're not quite sure how they fit in with, you know, the grand scheme of things. But I would say there's a lot to this, especially as you are moving through life and feeling like you're getting older. It makes a lot of sense to me that you would want to be experiencing a certain kind of vitality and strength and playfulness, which is what I hear when you talk about being able to do a wall flip. That kind of agility is, you know, can have a lot of meaning if that's something that's important to you. So I just hope that you find someone in the area that can help you with that.
And send in a video.
Yeah, please do. Like, share. Let us know. Could I speak for a moment to something that Sue had said on our last call? Great. I just really wanted to say also that Sue, that was an excellent example of really holding your aspirations and dreams in a way that's really enlivening without grasping to them, right? Relating to this, that I really heard in Sue that she was living into the possibility of what might happen in her life without bypassing the life that's right in front of her in this moment. And that level of curiosity and forward orientation, as Tom named, can be really inspiring, because we don't know also, right? This, like, life is so mysterious. And so we don't know what the opportunities are that might come our way. Sometimes the bucket list item we think we have actually becomes a catalyst for something else that shows up on our, you know, in our lives. And because we've already opened our minds or been practicing the skills that are necessary or whatever it might be for the other goal that we had, we're able to more readily say, oh yes, I can accept this invitation to experience something else that wasn't even on my radar. And that's really, you know, that dynamic living is really where we find a lot of joy often.
I have to share my own example because I mentioned the Northern Lights and being in Norway, and everybody back home was saying, oh my gosh, you can see the Northern Lights. You know, it was really at its peak. And they're like, you're in Norway. I'm like, no, it's bright all day. There's no dark. So I can't see them, ironically. But then what I saw instead was the midnight sun. And that was phenomenal. It was like this beautiful, amazing thing. So it was one of those serendipitous, like I didn't check off that bucket list, but ended up with another. So I just wanted to toss that in the mix. Let's hear from Scott, who is calling from Lisbon Falls.
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, many years ago, I had a craft shop in Camden, and there was a gentleman that showed up that had a lot of energy, but he was really tired. And my wife and I went out to lunch with him one day, and he was telling us that when his wife died, he said he got into depression. He said he was in a rut. And then he described a rut as being a grave with the ends knocked out. And he said he had to change that. And he ended up going on a cruise around the world and just living life. And he was always engaged with many, many people that summer. I watched him, and he just was living. And I just was very appreciative of that fact, and hope I've, in my own way, emulated that a little.
Wow, that's a wonderful story. Thank you, Scott, for sharing that. We have so many calls. I want to make sure we get to folks before the end of the show. So let's go to Carol calling in from Bethel.
Yes, good morning. I don't have a bucket list. I have a joy list.
Ah.
I'm always said the essence of our being is our genes, our experiences, and our attitude. When I was a kid, kicking the bucket meant you were old and you were going to die. So I created a joy list. And every day there is a piece of joy in my life. And all the time I dream a new dream onto my joy list and live that joy list to the fullest.
Well, that's very heartwarming. Thanks for sharing that, Carol. Tom, I'm assuming that's something you fully support.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. I think that's terrific. And we probably need more joy lists than ever these days.
Yeah, let's just rename the whole bucket list thing. Okay. Richard is calling in from Sevago Lake. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, Cindy. Yes, I did a lot of traveling back in my teens and 20s. Hitchhiked across Canada, went to Mexico, the Caribbean. But I'd never made it to Europe. And by the time I got into my 60s, I figured, well, I probably wouldn't. But I reacquainted with somebody who I had dated back in the 70s. And she has family in Spain. And she invited me to go with her last spring. So I got my passport at 73 years old and ended up spending a month in Spain. You know, I never expected to be able to make it, but don't give up on the possibility that one of your dreams might come true someday.
Oh, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that, Richard. Thank you for calling in. Kate, the never give up idea.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we tend, you know, sometimes we start to think, especially as we move through our lives and feel like the way our lives work is more and more solidified, or we feel like we're getting older or there's just less time. We can get stuck in that feeling of like, it's too late or it's not going to happen. And I just see all the time that people are delighted and surprised by the fact that so many things are possible. So many things are possible, and we never know what's going to happen. And again, being receptive to that is, allows for so much.
Let's hear from Sarah, who is calling in from Arundel. Hi, Sarah. Go ahead.
Hi. I saw the movie The Bucket List when it came out and enjoyed it. And then I got cancer about 15 years ago, you know, an advanced stage of cancer, and survived it, had in treatment, and I'm still here. But what struck me was, when I was thinking I was going to die, was I don't have any desire to go to a far-flung place. I just want to be around my loved ones and have my daily routine and be near them. You know, everything goes out the window when you think it's the end, at least. So it, you know, I often, when I think of the movie, I think that's not how it worked when I thought I wouldn't be here. So that's my comment.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry for what you've been going through, but how very well said that was, Sarah. Thank you. And Tom, I think that Sarah's description of prioritizing is probably resonates with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you believe that your window of life is short, you're going to focus on what are those most important priorities in your immediate life. And for many of us, it's just being with people we love, enjoying those moments. And that big travel, while in the past might have been really exciting, just doesn't mean the same thing. I'm really glad you called and articulated that. I also think it's a reflection of individual differences between people. For her, that was a priority, but I could see somebody who says, you know what? I want that world cruise.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Sarah, and best to you. Let's see. So many interesting folks calling in, including Mark calling from Strong. Hi, Mark. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. Well, boy, the last caller really kind of summed it up for me. I'll be 63 this year. Actually, I've been dealing with cancer for the past 5 years. And I don't really have a bucket list, but more of a way I want to live, more of a lifestyle list, if you will, than an individual item, you know, going to Europe or doing this or doing that. And, you know, a lot of this kind of came out of I took care of my mother-in-law while she was at hospice in our home. And exactly what the last caller said, one thing I learned from caring for her and being with her for her last 6 months was her reflections. And it was all about family, and it was all about friends, and it was all about the people that she loved and the people that loved her. And that's really it. I mean, I've always wanted to fly since I was little. I always wanted to get my private pilot's license and fly, but I can't do that. I could spend a whole lot of money, get my license, but it's a lifestyle that I could never afford. So that's just kind of a more of a dream than a bucket list thing. So I just want to be able to travel, go on motorcycle trips, spend time with the people I love, and that'll be good for me.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, Mark. That's really, again, about your priorities kind of fall into place when things happen. So thank you for calling. And Kate, you know, we hear this all the time that people reaching the later years realize the money didn't matter, the job didn't matter, it's the people, the family, the friends who matter. And you hear that in our callers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so often, you know, there are all sorts of things that can happen in life that reframe our priorities for us, right? But what I see even in my clients and just throughout my life is that cultivating the way of being in our life, like, more often it's not the goal. It's kind of like what we were saying earlier. It's not whether or not I achieve that thing, but it's, do I want to be in a state of wonder, right? Do I want to look for opportunities to feel alive, to connect with those around me, to feel like I'm being of service, to feel like I'm honoring the body that I'm in and, you know, taking care of myself? Do I want to be, you know, participating in certain communities or activities? All of that has to do with the experience that we're weaving together for our lives. And it doesn't have to be the big thing. Those are kind of the cherry on top. And, you know, again, it varies to some degree with the individual. There are people who are like, nope, this, I want to do this thing for whatever reason is really important to them. And, you know, that's great too. But I like what we're seeing in these past couple of callers are really highlighting something important as well.
Sure. And Tom, final words on that too, taking a bigger picture.
It's about quality of life. I think it's about honesty. It's about being true to yourself and what matters most to you in that moment. I imagine our last caller still enjoys the fantasy of flying his own airplane, even though he knows it's not what he wants right now. But he has a choice, and he can enjoy the fantasy and pursue what he cares about right now. And what a gift that is, to be able to do both.
Well, thank you both for joining us and taking this to inspiring new levels here. Dr. Tom Muser is a clinical psychologist, and Kate Bathurst is an integrated life and leadership coach. And today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Tomorrow on the show, we learn about how people foster creativity in their lives. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.